and that is Hail Thou Once Despised Jesus. You probably guess what we're going to be talking about today on this Tuesday, August the 26th, in the year of our Lord 2014. It's Ruminations Tuesday, and with us is our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing this great day?
I'm doing very good. And yourself?
I'm doing fine. Yeah.
You
can't think of anything new and remarkable to tell you, but...
Well, it looks like you got a new shirt on.
No, I've had this before.
Yes. So you're still having a vacation from your office?
No, this is the type of apparel I wear in this heat.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? Boy, warm. Where was I? I was at a nursing home, and it was really warm.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And it was too bad, you know. And but the lady I was talking to had bad hearing, and there were others around. So I was yelling, and I was only about 6 inches away from her ear. And now you'll enjoy this. A lot of times she said, "What did you say? What did you say?" But then when it came to the Lord's Supper,
she knew it.
She knew it.
She knew
spoke
it.
Right along with me.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes. Wonderful lady. We had a great conversation. And she, in fact, I've seen a number of shut-ins recently, but she was excited to have the Lord's Supper. Oh, you brought that for me?
Oh, yes. Oh, let me tell you. I found that.
Really?
These people, these shut-ins, when you bring the Lord's Supper, they just love that.
Yes. Well,
they
she
really
certainly
look
did.
Forward to it.
Yes. And the other thing, I first time I had seen her, so I wasn't sure she gets a large print portals or a small print. So I gave her a small print, and she could read it.
Uh-huh.
And so I was getting ready to leave. She says, do you want this back? I said, no, it's yours. It's mine? So she was excited. And in fact, there were some other ladies at a table with us. And when I had the prayer, they joined in. So it was kind of...
You find that, yeah.
Yeah, it was really
and
nice.
And then sometimes they'll ask you to pray for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was glad to get back in my air-conditioned car.
Yeah, I can imagine. What nursing home was that?
It was one on... Partridge in University City.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I lived in University City for 28 years, and I never went to
that nursing home.
No, it was... I didn't even know it existed. And so, but I found it, and the people inside are real nice, you know, but it wasn't well air conditioned. But it was, you know, 100.
Oh, my goodness.
So I tell you,
it's been hot.
It's time to look at our hymn. And would you be so kind as to read the first stanza?
Yeah, but first of all, I love that melody that we played. That's not the melody I thought it was.
No.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Hail, thou once despised Jesus, hail, thou Galilean King. Thou didst suffer to release us, thou didst free salvation bring. Hail, thou universal Savior, bearer of our sin and shame. By thy merit we find favor, life is given through thy name.
What I found interesting is the person who wrote it.
Yeah. You got the name?
No. And let's they don't see. Have the name here. What they say is hymns addressed to the Holy, Holy, Holy Triune God of London in 1757, a collection of psalms and hymns that was put out in 1760.
Edited by Johann Frelinghausen.
Yes. That's the tune. That's not the text.
Okay. Oh, that's the tune. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not often we have a hymn and we don't know who wrote it.
Right.
But a lot of hymns were found in hymnals. And by then, Gutenberg Press was out. So, you know, 1700. I mean, Luther used the Gutenberg Press. That's one of the reasons the Reformation was
absolutely
so successful.
Yeah, that's right.
So, the other thing I always like looking at is where the verses come from. Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 1, Ephesians 2, and Revelation 5.
And Revelation 5 is, you can see that in here easily.
Yes, that's my favorite chapter. Yesterday on Issues, Etc., the Sunday school lesson was Revelation 22, 1-5, about the new heaven and the new earth. And so we had a lot of fun with Todd on that. But this one here, let's take a look at this first stanza. The other thing I like looking at is what subject the hymn is under.
Redeemer.
Yes.
So it's a pretty much Christocentric
yes.
hymn about Christ.
I would imagine.
Yes.
That's one of my criterion, or is it criteria, for choosing a hymn. I think the best hymns are ones that Muslims and others cannot sing.
Yes.
Yeah. So if they can sing it,
then there's a problem.
Yeah, there's a. I remember that one we did at camp. They'll know we are Christians
by our love.
And
yes.
I would always,
or even worse than that, kumbaya.
Yeah. Well, I would always change it. They know we are Muslims by our love. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, no, they don't know us except through the word. You know, the idea that my behavior is going to make a difference in whether somebody is saved or not is absolutely contrary to the doctrine of the elect, that God, you know, knows who the elect are, and what brings them in is the word of God. And some people will say to me, well, why are you that interested? If the elect are going to be saved, why do you spend so much time in missions and evangelism? It doesn't matter. Well, the problem is the elect include Baptists, Roman Catholics, Presbyterians, Lutherans, sure, etc. And the reason they were talking about rural church before our program,
right,
today.
Right, I heard that, yes.
And when a church closes down, what a void is left, you know, there. And the point that was being made is that a Lutheran void makes a big more difference than, say, the void of another Christian church. The reason I'm so anxious to have people become Lutheran is in Lutheranism you get far more comfort.
Yes, the comfort.
Than you have in any other denomination.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our theology of baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Oh, my.
Much more comfort.
Yeah, with infant baptism, the Lord's Supper.
It's not that there aren't Christians in these
other denominations. No, not at all.
That's not it, but we want them to have the full comfort that Christ wants us to have.
Yes, absolutely. So when it says, "Hail, thou once despised Jesus, thou Galilean king," why would he start with that?
Well, because it goes back to the cross.
Yes.
That's where Jesus, despising, all that was poured down upon him on that cross.
Yes. "Thou didst suffer to release us, thou didst free salvation bring." Notice here how the hymn, and you already said this, is just focusing on the work of Christ. There's nothing in this entire hymn where I get any credit for my salvation.
No, right?
No.
That's right. It's all thou.
Yes. In fact, the very next one, "Hail thou universal Savior." What does that mean? That there are aliens somewhere that
no.
he saved?
No, it means he reaches out to all. It's just as his arms were extended on that cross, reaching out to the whole world. So his gospel is extended to everybody.
There was a conversation I had with someone, and he was having trouble that we consider ourselves Catholic. And like in the Athanasian Creed, I believe in the...
The Holy Catholic Church.
Yes, and he says, and I said, no, there's a difference between Roman Catholic and Lutheran Catholic.
Or because, Catholic is a small c.
Yes. Well, which one is the church, small c or big c?
Well, Roman Catholic would be capital C.
Yeah.
And Catholic, meaning universal, would be small c.
And you just said it. You just repeated,
right.
Thou universal Savior.
Right.
That's why we're part of the Catholic Church, because Jesus died for the sins of every human being. And he was the bearer of our sin and shame. By thy merit we find favor. Life is given through thy name. You know, I have this website where you can become a member. Well, what I decided to do, I heard a really good sermon. It wasn't me, and it wasn't you. what was the name of the pastor? Spencer, was it? Anyway, I just put it up on Saturday, and here's how he started his sermon, is a gift is given, wages are earned.
A gift is given, yeah, sure.
And it was a distinction between law and gospel.
Right.
That under the law, you earn your way to heaven. Whereas under the gospel,
it's a gift.
It's a gift. You know, a number of profs
absolutely
really make a big
gift.
Point of that. You know, that we're talking about gift language. Let me read the second stanza. Paschal lamb by God appointed, All our sins on thee were laid. By almighty love anointed, thou hast full atonement made. All thy people are forgiven through the virtue of thy blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Reconciled are we with God. Now, I want to ask you a tough question here.
Uh-oh. I can anticipate it.
All right. Is this verse being addressed to believers or unbelievers?
It's being addressed to Jesus. Our praise is going to him.
Well, when it talks about all thy people are forgiven, open is the gate of heaven, reconciled are we with God, is that to believers or unbelievers?
Oh, that's believers. Oh, I... Okay. All right, I stumbled into your web. What do you got? How are you going to tell me that I'm wrong there?
Okay, the Corinthians passage, that God has reconciled himself to the whole world because of Christ. And that we are ambassadors, be reconciled to God. The thing here, it's talking about the way from God to us, not from us to God. In other words, let me just take a look at this. Thou hast full atonement made. Did he make full atonement for the sins of the whole world, including unbelievers?
Sure, absolutely, everybody.
Okay. All thy people are forgiven. Now, if you think thy people is just the church, that's one thing. But I believe all people are God's because he's the creator of all. Are all...
All are atoned. I know that.
And all people are forgiven.
All people are... Yes. All they have to do is believe, you know.
No.
And God even gives them the faith to believe that.
Yes, but I mean, they're forgiven before they believe.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree with it. They're all redeemed.
It's called objective...
Justification.
Well said. Through the virtue of thy blood, open is the gate of heaven, reconciled are we with God. I believe that this can refer to unbelievers.
Well, sure, I would agree with that, yeah.
So this is really important. This is why Lutheranism is so different than a lot of others. Evangelicals will say something, if you believe in Jesus Christ, right, your sins will be forgiven. Lutherans say, your sins have been forgiven.
Right.
You have believe been in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's totally... In other words, we aren't...
It's much better news.
I know, it's much unconditional.
See, that's the full comfort we're talking about.
That's right, well said. In other words, it's the distinction between the law that is always conditional and the gospel that is unconditional. And the gospel is always unconditional promises. I think that's really important to understand. So, when it says Paschal Lamb, what's Paschal mean?
I was going to say Passover.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Passover. Paschal is just another word for the Passover. And what is significant about the Passover Lamb? What did it do in the Old Testament?
Of course, the blood of the Passover lamb was spread upon the doorpost and the lintels.
Yes.
And if you had blood on your doorpost, the destructive angel would pass over, and your firstborn would not be killed.
Yeah, first male.
Right.
Born male.
Right.
And that included not only
even
human
animals.
Beings, also animals.
Right.
Well said.
That's right.
So, Paschal Lamb, Jesus. In fact, that is so clear from, you already mentioned it, Revelation 5.
Right.
How does Jesus appear at his ascension?
As a lamb, as a bloody lamb.
Slain lamb. Yeah, exactly. So that this is really important to understand, folks, that this verse is a good news even to unbelievers. You know, that he's taking care of all of it.
Sure.
All right, now let's take a look at stanza 3, if you would read that, please.
Jesus, hail, enthroned in glory, there forever to abide. All the heavenly hosts adore thee, seated at thy Father's side. There for sinners thou art pleading. There thou dost our place prepare. Ever for us interceding, till in glory we appear.
This is really important to understand that we now have, the Bible refers to him as an advocate.
Advocate.
Okay,
yes.
What's the opposite of advocate?
Adversary.
Yeah, well, the devil.
Right, of course.
The way I like talking about it is, similar word, Jesus is our defense attorney.
That's right.
The devil is our prosecutor.
Prosecutor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. He likes to taunt us.
And he's pretty good at it.
Shows up our dirty laundry and all of our past sins and says, oh, what kind of a Christian are you?
Yes, and how many people have you had in counseling where for one reason or another they say, you know, Pastor, I'm just not, you know, ready to take the Lord's Supper. I did a really bad sin. I actually had a lady come to me with that. And I said, I use the analogy of a hospital. I said, you sound like you get hit by a car while you're walking across the street and the ambulance comes and your leg is, your bone is broken, there's blood all over. And they say, we'll get you to the hospital. And you say, no, no, no. You take me home, I'll clean up, and then we'll go to the emergency room because that's a really clean place. And I don't want to get it all. And she looked at me and I said,
that's a good illustration.
Well, because the church is a hospital for sick sinners.
Right.
So you come to the Lord's Supper because you know you're a sick sinner.
That's right.
In fact, what do we do? Sometimes they'll have the Lord's Supper and use matins, which has a different beginning liturgy. But what do we often do, therefore, before we actually do the Lord's
Confession
Supper?
Confession and absolution.
Very good. Yeah,
I'm a poor, miserable sinner.
Yes. And see, that's the way we prepare for the Lord's Supper. It's like preparing for surgery. Nobody wants to go to surgery if they don't think they need it. But once the doctor shows you the tests and say, you know, without it, you could really have some problems, then you're willing to do that. It's kind of like going to the dentist. You know, nobody, yeah.
Nobody likes that.
Yeah. I see these ads, no pain. You know, I've often thought about trying one of them. But then what happens, you see, the nurse hits you on the head, knocks you out. He works on your teeth, and you didn't feel anything.
I think we're getting all the dentists calling in today.
Yeah, I know. No. I have a really good dentist. I really like him a lot. And yeah, it's just so he doesn't charge me double. Here, I better say that. So I'm not one. We've talked about this. I don't like pain. I had to have a wisdom tooth out, and I had a choice.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I have no wisdom. So do you want to be put asleep or just Novocaine? I'm bringing my wife, put me to sleep. I couldn't believe it. Oh, and when you have a choice.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh. Right. So you like general anesthesia when you're in the dentist?
For anything. You have to have a flu shot. Where's the general anesthesia? the people who don't feel pain or something, that's something. You know, that's a real gift. All righty. I'm going to read the last stanza. Worship, honor, power, and blessing, thou art worthy to receive highest praises without ceasing. Right it is for us to give. Help, ye bright angelic spirits, all your noblest anthems raise. Help to sing our Savior's merits. Help to chant Emmanuel's praise. Now, you made the point that this is really what passage a lot?
That's Revelation 5.
Yeah. Yeah, you may want to look that up because there's the angelic, a lot of people don't realize, but it's in Revelation 5, near the end of the chapter, there's actually a song sung by the angels and by all the saints in heaven. And what's so important about this hymn is that in chapter 4, a similar hymn is sung to God the Father. But in chapter 5, it's sung to the Son and the Father. Could you read that hymn? It's near the end of chapter 5.
Yes. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.
Yeah, I talked about that yesterday in the Sunday school lesson, that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to reign. We actually reign here on earth. And I'm reminded of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God in talking about Satan. One little word can...
fell him.
Yes. And that's the word we say, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. And that's how we reign and rule over Satan. But that Revelation chapter 5... A lot of people think Revelation is a difficult book to understand, and it is if you don't have the code. The code is the Old Testament.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Professor Brighton.
Oh, he's excellent.
Did a wonderful. Yes. In fact, there's a, is it a video or just audio that he has put out? Have you ever used that in your congregation?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I've had him actually give a Bible study on Revelation. At our church, yes.
Yeah, no.
Years ago.
Boy, he's just, when I left the SAM, you know, you only get a chance to look at about 8 books when you're at the SAM in depth.
Right.
And even there, I had Fronsman for Romans. We didn't get past chapter 5 in 10 weeks. So what you're learning is how to look at the Bible, but you see, the Revelation is in that apocalyptic language, and you find that a little bit in the Old Testament, Daniel 7 and such. But until I took them, I was really unable to preach on that because it was kind of confusing to me. But after taking that course, I did a study at St. James for 2.5 years.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes. And all I did was I'd start with chapter 1, verse 1, and then do what Bible verses is this referring to. And it ended up being 130 pages long with nothing but Bible verses in it. You know. And we found that recently. So I'm thinking of maybe publishing it, but well, we'll see. So this last stanza is really taking words, thou art worthy to receive highest praises without ceasing. And right it is for us to give, help ye bright angelic spirits. Now, what does that mean?
Help you, it's talking about the angels, talking about the angelic, the heavenly host.
Yes. In fact, you mentioned them during the Lord's Supper.
Right. Of course. That section just before the Lord's Supper, when company of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven.
That's right, exactly. People say they're very sad when they lose a loved one who's in Jesus, and they say, "I can hardly wait to be with them." And I say, "Well, you can be with them at the Lord's Supper."
At the Lord's Supper, right?
Yeah, because you have they're
That's
already
the communion of saints.
Yeah. Communion of saints. You see, the word communion, they think of Lord's Supper, and so that gets a little confusing to them. But the proper understanding of communion, a better, I think, translation there would be the fellowship. That's really what it means. It's the Greek word koinonia, mm-hmm. which means a coming together. And it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul uses that word to talk about is not the bread we break.
The communion.
The koinonia.
That's right. The fellowship. The commingling, even.
Of the body.
Of the body of Christ.
And so that's why we as Lutherans, we disagree with the Roman Catholics who say you only get body and blood. We disagree with the Baptists who say you only get bread and wine. But on the basis of 1 Corinthians 10, the Lutherans, once more, kind of unique, you get bread and wine, body and blood.
That's right. All four elements.
Right. And so we talk about that the bread and wine doesn't change into body and blood, but in with and under. A good example, the best example I can think of is the one.
The burning bush in the
Old
Testament.
Right. Yeah. That was given by Chemnitz, mm-hmm. by the way, who was a great reformer after the death of Luther. The Formula Concord, 1580, he helped write a bunch of that. But he makes the point that the bush is still the bush. But God is in with and under that bush in a way that Moses had to take off his sandals.
That's right.
Because he was on holy ground. Speaking of holy ground, that's going to be occurring, I think, at your church this Sunday. What time are your services?
Yes. 5 p.m. Saturday, if you prefer that time. 5 p.m. Saturday, of course. And then again Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Oh, no Bible class?
And we do have a Bible class at 10:30, right.
10:30. And you still have donuts and stuff?
Oh, yes. Coffee.
Yep.
Good fellowship.
That's great.
Join us at Prince of Peace, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection, 8646 New Sappington Road. Love to have you.
And on tomorrow's Law and Gospel, you know, Law and Gospel is not only confused when you don't use the proper use, but when you reverse them. like gospel first, then the law. And we're going to talk about four ways in which we confuse law and gospel on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker. Till then, God bless.
Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.